When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
President phone call ending at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the U.S. on the 19th of February 2014 via Skype to Andy Georgescu.
This is Juan, the Colombian.
Phone call to Flavio on the 14th day of May 2014 at 8 a.m. in Rome, Italy.
For 2 years now, Juan's been recording his phone calls with the two unrelated Georgescus, Flavio and Flavio's friend in Los Angeles, Andy.
He leaves me a name, a phone number, and a brief message.
He even records the voicemails he leaves for them.
Thank you.
So call me back, please. Doesn't matter all the time. Just call me back. It's Juan. Thank you. I will place a call to Flavio. It's 12:48 a.m. Eastern Time on the 9th of July, 2014.
Juan's also been keeping a secret. He is Colombian. That part's true. But he isn't working for the FARC rebel group. He's working for the feds. And he's trying to build a so-called narco-terrorism case for the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA.
The local time is 8:35 p.m. We're about to go to the cafeteria at the Marriott Hotel to meet with Flav and the companion he has with him. We are right now
Bucharest, Romania.
In some of Juan's undercover recordings, you can hear his DEA colleagues. They're helping Juan create some elaborate theater, arms trafficking theater, all designed to ensnare Flavio Georgescu. I'm Trevor Aronson from Western Sound and iHeart Podcasts. This is Alphabet Boys. Episode 6, The Ramp Rat. Juan's sting operation targeting Flavio is complex. But this sting isn't unique. It's not some sort of one-off. It's part of a much larger DEA tactic that drug agents adopted during America's post-9/11 era. To explain, I need to go on a short tangent and tell you about another similar sting.
Yeah, everything's good.
I might as well take off my coat.
Yeah, sorry, I should have specified.
No, it's okay.
Thanks for taking the time.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm sitting in a conference room in Lower Manhattan. I'm here to interview Joshua Dreitel, a criminal defense lawyer specializing in terrorism cases.
So topically, I want to talk to you about the kind of narco-terrorism stings in general, and also this idea
of the Southern District being kind of the world police kind of thing.
Yes.
And then also about the Jamal Yousef case in particular.
Sure.
One of Joshua's clients was a man named Jamal Yousef.
Jamal Yousef was a hustler, a successful hustler. He parlayed knowledge of certain geographical regions, such as the Middle East and Latin America, into being an effective broker for many deals that were mostly hustles.
Jamal, like Flavio, was targeted in a so-called narco-terrorism sting operation. Neither Flavio nor Jamal had anything to do with drugs or really narco-terrorism. Now, the DEA is meant to be investigating cases involving drugs. That's obvious. But the DEA built cases around both Jamal and Flavio that centered on the idea that they were supporting terrorism by attempting to sell weapons to people who earned money running drugs. In this episode, I'm going to explain how people like Jamal and Flavio, no real connections to terrorists, no real connections to drugs, could become, in the DEA's eyes, narco-terrorists. With the help, of course, of informants like Juan. Jamal Yousef was born and raised in Lebanon, but he was a Syrian citizen. His background is shadowy and suggests possible connections to Syrian intelligence. As a young man, Jamal lived and worked in several countries, including Greece, Nigeria, Germany, and the United Arab Emirates.
You could trace his evolution through the geographical areas that he basically burned bridges and couldn't go back to.
At some point, Jamal moved to Norway, where he ran several small businesses, including a restaurant, a store selling baby clothes and cosmetics, and a kiosk offering cigarettes and candy.
And he had a good history of disappearing himself and then appearing somewhere else in a different identity or in a different context. That's how he got out of the Middle East in the first place.
Eventually, by 2006, Jamal makes it to Latin America, where he starts a new hustle. He negotiates a deal to borrow $200,000 from a group of Mexican men connected to organized crime. Jamal said he could repay the loan with weapons secretly shipped from Lebanon. Jamal has this picture of himself in front of a room full of military-grade weapons. He shows the photo to the Mexicans as proof of the weapons that he can deliver. But what the Mexicans don't know is Jamal is talking to someone else, the FBI agent stationed at the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City. It's a complicated web of people around the world. Does this sound familiar? There's more. Jamal claims to the FBI agent that the weapons in the photo belong to the U.S. military and that they were stolen by American soldiers in Iraq. He says those soldiers then sold the weapons to the Hezbollah terrorist group in Lebanon.
As any sophisticated hustler would do, Jamal's trying to play both sides.
Jamal also tells the FBI agent that he has a deal to sell those weapons to some Mexican guys. And he's willing to cooperate with the U.S. government.
He's trying to ingratiate himself to the government so he has protection, which is the way he operated overseas all the time, you know, in his original environment. And when that played out, you know, to the point where he couldn't do it anymore, he wound up in Latin America. So he was just doing the same thing.
But the deal with the Mexicans falls through. They don't provide any money and no weapons are shipped. In 2006, Jamal is arrested in Honduras on charges of using a fake passport and possessing a handgun. And by 2008, 2 years into his prison sentence, Jamal is desperate. So he comes up with a new hustle. Jamal meets a Colombian who claims to represent, get this, the FARC rebel group. He shows the guy another photo of a room full of guns. And Jamal tells the Colombian that he can deliver these weapons. But this photo, it's not real. At least not real to Jamal. It's an image that he found online.
Yeah, it was just a photo of a room full of like RPGs and stuff in boxes, you know, crates, like typical kind of armament crates and a couple of stray AKs and things like that lying around. It was on the internet.
Jamal arranges to sell these weapons to the FARC. But the Colombians don't know that Jamal's trying to run a scam. Once he gets the advance payment, he plans to bounce with no weapons delivered.
Unfortunately, he was being hustled at the same time.
This might not be surprising now, but the Colombians, like Flavio's friend Juan, aren't really with the FARC. They're with the DEA. And once the DEA has built its case against Jamal, armed agents grab him off the street in Honduras, throw him into an SUV, and speed toward the airport.
He thinks he's being killed. You know, guys with automatic weapons, hooded in the back of a SUV, hurtling down the highway, and ultimately gets to the airport and he gets thrown on a plane to the U.S. That's how it's done, even though we have an extradition treaty with Honduras. This is how it's done.
Jamal's taken to Manhattan, where federal prosecutors charge him with conspiring to provide material support to terrorists. Jamal's charged with supporting FARC, even though, in his case, FARC wasn't really FARC. They're the DEA. And he's brought to New York to face those charges, even though the alleged crime didn't happen in New York, or even in the United States. Under federal conspiracy law, a defendant doesn't need to help an actual terrorist. He just needs to think he's helping a terrorist. Jamal's scam attempt caught him in what's known as a narco-terrorism sting. These stings occur exclusively outside the United States, using paid informants employed by the DEA. And then the person caught is sent to Manhattan to be prosecuted, even though there is no connection at all between the crime and New York City. The Southern District of New York, in Manhattan, the most influential and powerful U.S. attorney's office in the nation, has turned narco-terrorism stings into its own little cottage industry.
They're imaginative and ambitious in that way. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a way of like, we're going to do these things. And we're going to cultivate a group of FBI and DEA people who will master this and bring all the cases to us. We'll own the informants. Our network will be ours.
Joshua, the defense lawyer, says that narco-terrorism stings aren't really about stopping narco-terrorism. They're about numbers, arrests, prosecutions, convictions, which to federal law enforcement agents mean paychecks and promotions.
They cultivated the informants and they cultivated the people overseas as a reliable actor in the process. You're not wasting your time. You are going to get convictions. You're going to get paid. And you're going to have work next time.
Jamal Yusuf pleaded guilty in his case and served 10 years in prison. His ultimate crime? Making the mistake of trying to scam a much more powerful scammer, the U.S. government. So, what does this have to do with Flavio? A lot, actually, and I'll get to that. But first, I need to tell you about the guy who has Flavio in his crosshairs. The guy running the government scam. Juan. The wide-bellied, brash Colombian. That's after the break.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Juan is a DEA informant, but Juan isn't his real name. That's Alex Diaz. The current whereabouts of Juan, or Alex, are difficult to pin down. He's lived at various times in Florida, Georgia, New Jersey, Kansas, and Colorado. The most recently available public records suggest that Juan lives, at least part of the time, in a condo in Centennial, Colorado, a suburb of Denver. I'm in a large, middle-class complex of three-story buildings, each with wood-paneled accents on the outside. Juan's condo, or what I think is Juan's condo, is here.
7337.
His unit is on the third floor of the building. The doormat reads, "Welcome to the shit show," which seems fitting for Juan. No one's answering. So I leave a note, tucking it slightly under the Welcome to the Shit Show mat. In the note, I write that I'm searching for Juan, or Alex Diaz, and that I want to discuss his work for the DEA. Juan has never contacted me, which honestly isn't surprising. Federal drug agents pay him lots of money not to talk to journalists like me. Juan's a seasoned hand for the DEA. His specialty? Narco-terrorism cases. Narco-terrorism. It sounds scary, right? Take two of the world's most villainous evildoers, drug runners, or narcos, and terrorists. And well, combine them. You get narco-terrorists. They must be the world's supervillains, right? Or maybe, and hear me out, maybe they don't exist. Not really. Maybe they're just inventions. To understand how American law enforcement might have conjured up so-called narco-terrorists, you really have to go back to the so-called war on drugs.
America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse. In order to fight and defeat this enemy, it is necessary to wage a new all-out offensive.
In 1971, while in the middle of a fight for his political life, President Richard Nixon formally announced the war on drugs. In hindsight now, a half century later, the rhetoric was clearly the product of a moral panic. But it was being pushed by America's highest elected officials.
Drugs are menacing our society. They're threatening our values and undercutting our institutions. They're killing our children.
In 1986, as part of the Just Say No campaign, President Ronald Reagan boasted in a televised address from the Oval Office that 37 federal agencies were engaged in the war on drugs, and that funding for drug-related federal law enforcement had tripled. The drug war was a feeding frenzy, an alphabet soup of dozens of federal agencies all seeking a spot at the table. And the FBI, at the time not tasked with investigating drug crimes, was left out. The Bureau saw all that government money flowing to much smaller agencies, including the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. And so, around the time that Reagan gave this national address, the FBI muscled in on the drug war, successfully lobbying Congress to give the Bureau concurrent jurisdiction with the DEA over drug crimes. Undercover stings, in which federal agents pretended to be drug buyers or drug sellers, became one of the FBI's primary tools, racking up arrests, prosecutions, and convictions. There were so many cases and so many prosecutions that the war on drugs became self-fueling. The moral panic meant more law enforcement funding. More law enforcement funding meant more undercover stings and more arrests. More stings and more arrests meant more hysteria. A cycle.
This is crack cocaine.
In 1989, President George H.W. Bush gave a national address from the Oval Office in which he held up a bag containing crack cocaine.
Seized a few days ago by drug enforcement agents in a park just across the street from the White House.
America's panic about drugs at the time made President Bush's claim seem believable. A drug dealer was selling crack outside the White House. But it was all nothing more than drug theater. The Washington Post later reported that DEA agents had to manipulate a drug dealer to come to a park near the White House. A decade later, America was on to a new war.
We understand that there has been a plane crash on the southern tip of Manhattan. You're looking at the World Trade Center. We understand that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. We don't know anything more.
The war on terror. Billions and billions of dollars poured out. And among the biggest beneficiaries was the FBI, which overnight transformed into an agency whose number one priority is counterterrorism. The administration of President George W. Bush then launched something of a PR campaign to combine the old war his dad fought with the new war he was fighting, combining the war on drugs with the war on terror.
I helped murder families in Colombia.
It was just innocent fun.
I helped kidnap people's dads.
Hey, some harmless fun.
I helped kids learn how to kill.
This was a public service announcement that ran during the 2002 Super Bowl, just a few months after 9/11.
I was just having some fun, you know.
I helped kill policemen.
I was just having fun.
I helped the bomber get a fake passport.
All the kids do it.
I helped kill a judge.
I helped blow up buildings.
My life, my body.
The ad ends with large white letters on a black screen. Drug money supports terror, it reads. The intended message was clear. If you use drugs, dear Americans, you support those evil terrorists. With the war on terror, suddenly the DEA found itself in the same position the FBI was in the 1980s, shut out of the biggest funding game in town. Here's Joshua Dreitel again, the lawyer specializing in terrorism cases.
They were losing their budgetary control. They were losing their career advancement through these kinds of investigations. And they were also losing their status, essentially, within the law enforcement and criminal justice community.
So the DEA took a lesson from the FBI and petitioned Congress to give the agency a piece of the war on terror.
So what better way to sort of reaffirm their importance by saying, oh, there's this narco-terrorism problem that's out there.
The DEA was then given jurisdiction over narco-terrorism, a mandate to travel the world and investigate how drug smuggling operations were secretly funding terrorist networks and terrorist attacks. The gambit worked. The money came flowing into the DEA. In 2006, Congress allocated $287 million in the DEA budget for international enforcement. A decade later, that number had ballooned to $467 million. Suddenly, the DEA has nearly $500 million every year to search the world for narco-terrorists. A lot of money to hire informants. And among those enlisted to help the DEA in this global search is Juan.
Listen, I want you to speak. I know you don't want to talk to no one, and I agree. But I just wanted to convince these people that I have a man this time that can make it happen.
Juan wasn't always a DEA informant. But he's been one for a very long time. Juan's a former drug runner who spent decades working for the DEA, and he's earned millions of dollars in the process. And here's what I can say as fact about Juan, or Alex Diaz. He's an only child from Colombia.
My mother only have me. Okay, my mother smoked Lucky Strike. Remember Lucky Strike? Many years.
He was born in 1950, making him about 64 years old when communicating with Flavio. Anytime someone brings up Juan's age, he's quick with a joke.
What's wrong with you? I'm 32.
Juan came to the United States from Colombia at age 17 and has strong ties there.
Colombia is a good country. It's a good country. It's a very big country. It's big.
As a young man, Juan began working for American Airlines Sky Chef. You know, the guys responsible for loading food and drinks on the planes. Juan eventually took a position with Sky Chef in Miami. Miami International is a key hub for American Airlines and a U.S. gateway to Latin America. Miami, at the time, was basking in the afterglow of Miami Vice. The city had a reputation for drugs, fast cars, skimpy bikinis, and free-flowing money.
That dude you showed up with tonight works undercover for the DEA, pal. His name's Scott Wheeler. And as for Leon, he's on the payroll of a Colombian. I've been two steps...
As if he were a character straight out of Miami Vice, Juan had a sideline gig at Miami International Airport. He used his position with American Airlines to smuggle a staggering amount of drugs into the United States. 3,000 kilos of marijuana and 4,000 kilos of cocaine. But federal drug agents figured out what Juan was up to, and he was arrested and hit with federal criminal charges and a 10-year prison sentence for drug smuggling. So Juan cut a deal with the DEA. He agreed to work with drug agents as an informant in exchange for knocking down his decade-long prison sentence to just 3 years. Around the time that Juan was released from prison, federal agents in Miami had been noticing that baggage handlers at the airport, so-called ramp rats, were driving around in fancy cars and living large, which was odd for guys earning about $10 an hour. Of course, the DEA had a pretty good idea of how these low-paid workers might afford such a lifestyle. So federal agents launched two undercover investigations at Miami International Airport called Operation Sky Chef and Operation Ramp Rat, resulting in scores of arrests of airport workers who were helping to smuggle in cocaine, heroin, and other drugs. The Miami Herald, in 1999, published a front-page story about the DEA investigations at the airport. The newspaper described the DEA's lead informant as, quote, a fat man with an annoying habit of spitting in agents' faces as he talked. Juan is, in fact, short and stocky. A fat man. And spitting in agents' faces as he talked? Well, I mean, just listen to Juan.
Listen to me. If you cannot do it, then let's forget about this.
Andy, you're killing me, brother.
I don't care about Andy, I don't care about you, I don't care. Only about my business. If you're going to work with me, we need to be serious about working.
You can almost feel the spit hitting you in these recordings. Juan's been at this informant game for nearly 30 years, and he's been rewarded handsomely. In addition to getting to skip those last 7 years of his prison sentence back in the 90s, Juan has earned nearly $5 million working for the DEA and other federal law enforcement agencies.
If you go to Rome, I have a list of hotels that are built like American hotels.
Juan's traveled the world, with undercover work funding a lifestyle filled with nice hotels.
Yeah. You find what's built as an American hotel because they're the biggest rooms of that. Yeah.
Exclusive restaurants.
I want the octopus.
And women.
Oh, beautiful women. Beautiful. I'm friendly. Friendly. Yeah. You know? It's good.
Juan's been delivering federal cases for decades. He's an experienced operator. And his current target? Flavio Georgescu. That's after the break.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Time is a luxury for us, especially if you're a mom. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold-out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to DimeBeautyCO.com for 20% off with code GETDIME. That's DimeBeautyCO.com, code GETDIME for 20% off.
Juan makes big money as a DEA informant, in part because he's the ideal frontman for a narco-terrorism sting, the perfect guy to play the part of a FARC agent. He's Colombian.
Maybe you, when you saw me, you knew it was me because I'm the only Latin people, the only Colombian. Yeah,
he's a native Spanish speaker. And he has plenty of firsthand experience with cocaine.
Yeah, you have to take cocaine leaves fresh to keep your blood pressure right. But
neither the DEA nor the Justice Department maintains a publicly accessible list of so-called narco-terrorism stings. So we scoured federal court records and press releases to create one. Of the DEA's narco-terrorism cases, half involved informants, like Juan, pretending to be from the FARC. The Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, F-A-R-C, for the acronym in Spanish, is a guerrilla group that has been in conflict with Colombia's central government since 1964. Most of FARC's supporters are in rural areas, which the Colombian government has historically neglected, as a result of the FARC's presence in remote areas where coca plants are cultivated and cocaine processed. The group's funding has come, in part, from the drug trade. And if you're a federal drug agent with funding to travel the world trying to prove that drugs fund terrorism, then, well, FARC is perfect for you.
So I think when you talk about FARC, you really kind of have this almost perfect organization from the government's purposes, sort of out of central casting.
This is Wadia Saeed, a law professor at the University of South Carolina who has studied narco-terrorism stings.
It's a kind of an association that people will make in their minds almost automatically. And of course, it leaves out the Colombian government's role in the war on drugs, which has not been, to say it in, you know, exceedingly simple terms, it hasn't been a clean one. So the FARC is a useful dupe in this whole exercise. Not to say its hands are clean either, but certainly it's kind of almost like heaven sent for the government as a kind of a prosecutorial foil.
In 2011, Juan gets a big lead to offer the DEA. He's met a Romanian guy living in Los Angeles, Andy Georgescu. Juan met Andy through another confidential informant, but I've never been able to figure out those details. What I know is that Juan tells the DEA that this Andy guy is involved in smuggling and money laundering, Juan suggests to the agents that he spend some time getting to know Andy to see where things might lead. And, of course, doing that means money for Juan. And so, testing Andy, Juan says he wants to buy weapons for the FARC. Andy suggests his friend, Flavio Georgescu, a guy over in Europe who can make things happen. Based on that, and not much more, Juan starts targeting Flavio. And at the same time, Flavio, if you're inclined to believe his story, thinks he's collecting information for the CIA. So he works to put together the weapons deal for Juan.
You saying that you have a person now, it was with you that he could take care of the list I gave, right?
Yeah, he's the person which can execute. He's not the middleman, he's nothing. He's the direct person.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I call the people. I call the people in Colombia, the FARC people, okay? And they tell me that I want to look and see if I can program perhaps a meeting with you.
Flavio tells Juan that if he wants to move forward, he has to come to Romania. But Juan, having been stood up once already in Rome and now tired of Flavio's constantly changing plans, says he doesn't want to go to Romania. In this call, Flavio is sitting in his car in Bucharest. Also in the car is a man Flavio has lined up to help negotiate the arms deal.
It's either you meet me in Rome or not. If not, I appreciate you very much. Okay, all due respect, you do your business because you don't have time for me. Because that means you never will get it done right. Then I'm not going. If you come to Rome, you meet me, I'll go with you to Romania. That's the deal. I cannot go to Romania every time you change me or to Paris or to Italy or to the other guy who you put me in Liverpool because everybody has a plan. I have a plan. I'm the one who show up and the one showed up. I just need you to come. And once you come, I know you there. I meet you face to face. We like each other. You like what I'm talking. And then we go to wherever we need to go. That's all.
I'm okay.
That just there might have been hard to hear, but it's another person, a guy who says, I don't think so. That's the guy Flavio has recruited to help him complete the arms deal. He's willing to meet with Juan, but only in Romania.
My friend, he says it's not interesting. This is the last talk with Andy, find a solution. What can I do?
Okay, tell your friend that it wasn't even kind enough to get on the phone and tell me that direct. But no problem. You know.
Talk with him.
No. Can you
talk with him?
No, I mean, what am I going to talk to him for about? He doesn't understand what I've been going through.
If you come to Romania, I have the meeting guaranteed 100% and talk with the real people. If I come to Rome, I don't know if I can come or not, but if I come, I come like a loser. I don't know nothing about this business. And, you know, it's like you said, this is a business for me too. No, this is a help for me. I want to help you out. I don't need any business. I don't need any money. I don't need nothing, believe me. I'm okay.
Flavio is telling Juan that he doesn't want any money, that he's putting Juan in touch with people in order to help him, which, to Flavio's credit, does seem consistent with his claims of believing that he's working for the CIA. In Flavio's mind, accepting any money as part of the deal would compromise him. So he's making it clear to Juan that he's not doing this for money. He doesn't want Juan's money.
I appreciate me too. Me too. But I cannot come to Romania until I meet you in Rome. I'll go from Rome to Romania if I meet you in Rome. And he doesn't have to come. I don't need to talk to him, or we don't need to do business. That's all, because you don't need my business. That's it. In all due respect to you, you're a gentleman.
If he cannot come, what can I do?
I understand that.
This is right.
I'm not coming. That's the bottom line. I cannot go because I cannot take a change every day from you trying to help me, okay, which is a business and you're going to get help yourself, okay? So I cannot go to Romania thinking that I'm going to meet someone. That's it, brother. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. If you change your mind, let me know. You know I want to be in Rome. Okay? Hello?
The call gets disconnected. And at this point, the arms deal appears to be dead. It's all a hot mess. But Juan, he does change his mind. He's trying to build a case for the DEA, after all. And he spent months grooming Flavio as a target. He's not ready to give up just yet. So he travels to Europe again. And Juan finally comes face to face with his target.
Here I am, I'm in your town. Here I am to dock.
Okay, which hotel you are?
I'm at the Marriott Hotel.
Marriott?
Uh-huh.
Okay, which room?
That's in the next episode. This is Up in Arms, Season 2 of Alphabet Boys. Alphabet Boys is a production of Western Sound and iHeart Podcasts. The show is reported, written, and hosted by me, Trevor Aronson. For more information about this series or to drop us a tip, head to our website, alphabetboys.xyz. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Trevor Aronson. The show's Instagram is alphabetboys.pod. If you're enjoying Alphabet Boys, tell your friends about the show. Personal recommendations are the best recommendations. And want to see an illegal arms deal from the inside? At alphabetboys.xyz, you'll find undercover recordings and documents related to Flavio's case. Finally, you can help us ride the algorithms by leaving a rating or a review on your favorite podcast app. That helps other people find us. And thanks for listening.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.